Welcome to the Perspectives on Healthcare podcast, where members of the medical community from different roles, venues, and locations share their unique perspectives on quality healthcare, its future, and how to improve it. Now, from the Your Keynote Speaker Studio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, here is your host, Rob Oliver.
Thank you and welcome. My guest today is Kevin Burciaga. He is a physical therapist. He is a YouTuber. He is all about the concept of rational eating. He is a millennial, a member of Generation Y. He is from Modesto, California, and he joins us today. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. So let's jump right into it. Can you tell me about yourself and your role in healthcare?
I've been a physical therapist for 6 years. I just passed my 6-year anniversary here. Hard to believe. And I've been doing primarily home health, geriatrics, post-surgical rehab. And then my own business is The Rational Eater. So that's a YouTube channel, but it's also a program to help people overcome eating disorders. So I kind of have a split career at this point.
Okay. So like the concept of physical therapy, I think we have a general understanding of. Can you tell me a little bit more about that, the rational eater, and what that's all about?
I have my own history of eating disorders, and so I turned my problem, I turned my mess into a message. Okay. and then into a solution. And it's a methodology that I developed over many years through a lot of trial and error, school of hard knocks.
Okay.
And now I'm helping people with the same problem, mainly my generation and then Generation Z, you know, okay, the 2000 and beyond.
Right.
So younger. So I would say between, you know, 20 and 40, helping those people overcome similar problems using my methodology.
Okay. How do you see the intersection between your two? Are they separate rails that like physical therapy is one thing and eating disorders are another thing? Or do you see some intersectionality between them?
It's both health, right? Okay. We're promoting, in physical therapy, we're promoting optimal movement. And then rational eating, I'm promoting optimal nutrition. Although I don't like tell people exactly what to eat. I can't, because sure, I'm not a dietitian. Okay. But I'm trying to help. I'm helping people get from where they are now to where they want to be. So it's a similar process, right? Like here's your patient, or here's your client, here's your goal. Like, can you help them achieve that goal?
Got it. And so in both instances, what I'm hearing you say is it's getting you from where you are to where you want to be.
So yeah, exactly. I mean, it's setting goals, which you do in physical therapy, and then I do in my business. And a lot of the things that I learned as a clinician, I'm applying in my own business. Okay, let's establish goals. Let's measure progress. Let's have milestones. Like, let's figure out what's working. Let's modify the plan of care. Okay. So it's when I started 6 years ago, I wasn't planning to do this.
Right.
I wasn't planning to help people with EDs. I just wanted to recover on my own and then move on with my life. And okay, then I realized that I had like my own solution. It's like, well, why not promote this? Right. But I learned a lot of things while I was doing PT that applied in my business.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. What does quality healthcare mean to you?
It's connecting the patient with the best possible solution to their problem, which in many cases could be doing nothing. You know, sometimes there's no one intervention that's going to solve this problem. Sometimes you just have to let it run its course, which is a hard proposition to sell. Sometimes, well, your back pain, it's probably going to go away in the next few months. There is this inclination to do something. You know, if there's a problem, then you got to do something. But quality healthcare, if the answer is to do nothing, well, that doesn't cost anything, right?
Right.
So that is the optimal solution. So it's like, it's finding that bridge from the patient to that best solution.
It's so interesting that you say that, because what you're talking about is looking at all of the possibilities, and among the possibilities is the possibility that there is not, that there's no necessity for intervention. How do you, how do you make that determination? And like you said, that's a hard sell. How do you share that with people in a way that they're not just like, what do you mean? I just have to wait for this to work its way through.
It's a hard call. And that's where skill and critical thinking come in. Because let's say 70% of the people don't need, well, let's say half the people don't need any intervention. Well, then but half do. And you have to figure out, okay, which people really need it and which don't. And it's a combination of things. It's hard to list, but it's what medications are they on? What's their history? What's their mental state? What kind of help do they have at home? What's the onset of the problem? Was there a fall? Was there something traumatic? Like, what else is going on in their life? And then to convince them that nothing is needed, some people are more receptive to that than others. Because it's actually good news that this thing will resolve on its own. Oh, wow, really? I'm not broken. Like, I don't need surgery. That's a huge relief for a lot of people.
Sure.
You know, doing nothing versus going through the medical system and never really getting better. Are you saying all they need to do is do some simple exercises and change some things in my home? Great. Let's do that. Although you get some people who think that, you know, surgery is a quick fix, or doing something, they have to do something, you know, and doing nothing is not an option. But I say doing nothing is often doing something, right? And it's the best solution in some cases. So it's a balance, because you've got to consider their goals, but you also have to consider money, right?
Right.
Resources. And then what you don't want to do is deny somebody services or not intervene when you should intervene.
Okay. I'm thinking in there, you would have to do some work to address symptoms. So I'm assuming, you know, someone's having back pain and you're like, this situation, you know, this particular issue is likely to resolve itself in a couple of months. Let's help you to be more comfortable with what's going on until it gets to that point. Is that part of what you're talking about?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, let's look at different positions you can sleep in. What kind of shoes are you wearing? Yeah, seriously. What kind of mattress are you sleeping on? What kind of help do you have at home? Do we need to order equipment? Are you using like a heat pad or something just for simple basic relief, right? Can you get up and walk around every 2 hours? Can you avoid these positions? There's always something simple, and that's my methodology. It's like, let's start with the simple things. Let's start with the obvious, and then we'll progress from there.
Okay. I think you've kind of covered this a little bit. Can you talk to me about, you know, a specific example of quality healthcare?
But in my life, or just...
It can either be in your own life, or it can be with someone that you have worked with a client, or, you know, somewhere that you have seen quality healthcare at work.
Sure. Well, I'll give something in my life. If I see something really routine, like knee pain, you know, I'll show them a few exercises that are very basic, very easy to do. They're low cost, that are probably going to help the problem. And sometimes, and here's a uncomfortable truth about physical therapy. Sometimes you just need to get them to do something, and you'll get some result. It might not be a specific result, but it is something. And just showing the patients that they can do more than what they think they're capable of is quality care. Because then they start to get stronger, they feel a little more resilient, they start feeling better, and then voila, symptoms start to reduce.
Okay. So it's sometimes, so what I'm hearing you say, just to synthesize what I've heard you say so far, sometimes doing nothing is the right thing to do, and sometimes it's just doing something is enough to get things headed in the right direction. Is that properly understanding what you've said so far?
Correct. And when I say nothing, maybe I should be a little more clear. We don't need to do anything fancy. You know, we don't need some complicated maneuver. You know, I don't need to, you know, manipulate them or something, but they don't need to take a medication. They don't need a surgical intervention. Like, we can do something that's very simple, very low cost, that's going to start producing results now.
Okay. So then let me just make sure you're saying, when you say do nothing, you're talking like radical intervention, where by nothing means you're not going in to do surgery, you're not doing it, but you're giving them some maybe simple exercises to do, some lifestyle adjustments that may help to reduce what's, you know, reduce the issue and help to alleviate it over the course of time. But it's not that they're not doing anything, where they're just sitting around waiting for it to get better. It's that they're doing incrementally small steps or simple procedures to move forward with that. Is that correct? Accurate?
I'm giving them simple things they can do right now to start producing that change. I've never seen a patient say, well, we don't need to do anything. Have a nice day.
Right.
You know, and then give them a pat on the back. I've never done that.
Okay.
And there's always something that we can do, but very low cost, and something they can do on their own.
Got it. Okay.
That's what's important.
Sure. So you're kind of empowering them with, you know, some things that they can do on their own to move forward.
Yeah. Showing them what they can do, you know, putting them in charge.
Got it. What do you wish people understood about your role in healthcare? And that you can take that either direction, as a physical therapist or working with folks with the eating disorders.
I'll focus on the physical therapy. That you need to see a physical therapist as a consultant and less as a mechanic. You know, you're not a car. Okay. You know, the body's not a car. Oh, here's what's broken. Let's get our toolbox and let's fix it. You know, cars are not people. And the reason why is because we have minds. So when you combine bones and joints with psychology, it's a lot more complicated. Whereas if you have a flat tire, you fix the tire and you start driving again. It's not so easy with humans. This is why you can do surgery after surgery after surgery and never see an improvement. Because now you're dealing with a person who has certain emotions and certain beliefs, and that makes it that much more complicated. So if you're going to see a physical therapist, seek one that acts more like a consultant and doesn't see you as something that needs to be fixed. Like we're tour guides here. Like, here's some things you need to do. Here's the prognosis. Here's what I think is wrong. Here's what not to do. Let's keep things simple. Come back. Let's reassess.
Okay. Very interesting concept. Thank you for sharing that. What excites you about the future of healthcare?
I would say the role technology, specifically AI, will play.
Okay. AI is an artificial intelligence, right?
Right. Yeah. I guess augmented intelligence too. So it could be either one.
Sure.
But especially when it comes to differential diagnosis, I think that would be a tremendous aid. I equate it to instant replay in baseball. They instituted instant replay in baseball about 10 years ago. And then you look back at the era before instant replay and you look at all the blown calls that they made. Like, these were supposed to be like professional umpires and they're making these horrible calls. Okay. Now that doesn't happen because we have technology to make sure that that doesn't happen. I think differential diagnosis will be, I mean, I think AI when it comes to diagnosis will be the same thing. We won't have to rely on physicians and physical therapists to come up with the best diagnosis, because there's so many variables involved. It's really hard to pin down a good diagnosis. And I think AI will be a tremendous tool in that.
Okay. Just really quickly, can you tell me what is the difference between artificial intelligence and augmented intelligence?
I think augmented intelligence is when you have either a phone or you have like something in your eye that gives you additional data about your surroundings.
Okay. Got it. Thank you. What is one thing medical professionals can start doing today to improve the quality of healthcare?
Stop focusing on what you're going to do to the patient. Start focusing on what the patient can do for themselves.
Okay.
Prefer more simple solutions, more low-cost solutions, and then progress from there. You know, quit thinking in terms of, okay, we need to do medication, we need to do surgery, we need to do this. And even in my profession, we don't do surgery, but it's really tempting to say, you need to come here twice a week for 6 weeks. Well, would a home exercise program get the same effect? And I think in a lot of times, the answer is yes.
Right. It's so interesting that you say that. My mom talks about when she was young, she grew up in the Richmond, Virginia area, didn't have a whole lot of money. And so when they needed dental care, they went to the School of Dentistry. And she feels like whatever technique they were learning that week is somehow they found in the patient's mouths, and they were performing that technique. And it was something that they were so focused on their own skill set and, you know, the things that they were learning that they were kind of pigeonholing people into it that didn't necessarily need it. And I think that in a little bit, that's kind of what you're talking about. Like, let's, instead of being excited about new treatments and all of those novel approaches, let's see if we can start with a simplistic approach and use that first before we go beyond that. Is that fair? Is that a fair understanding of what you're saying?
Yeah, I see some PTs doing laser therapy. And I'm thinking, before we start doing laser therapy, why don't we focus on what we do well, like exercise, education, behavior modification. Let's master that before we start, you know, shooting lasers into people.
Okay. It's one of those things where shooting lasers sounds advanced, and I don't want to like overstate it, but it sounds fun and cool, and it's the cutting edge, and maybe it's just not, it's not where we need to start. Hey, listen, Kevin, thank you for being with me today. I really appreciate your willingness to share your perspective on healthcare.
Thanks for listening to Perspectives on Healthcare. Visit perspectivesonhealthcare.com to learn more about Rob Oliver or to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If this podcast was valuable, we'd appreciate a review on iTunes. Or if you tell a friend or coworker about the show, that would be helpful too. Join us again next time for more Perspectives on Healthcare.